Vernon County Chamber offices in downtown Flemington, New Jersey. Tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. and get to know the Hunterdon County Library. The library offers a wide array of services, programs, and community support to the residents of Hunterdon County. On today's show, we'll tell you all about New Jersey Makers Day. May or may not be coming up on March 21st and March 28th at all three library locations. It's a great family event. The Friends of ACL Book Sale will be back for its 24th year. It has grown into one of the biggest book sales on the East Coast, and I'm not exaggerating. Entries are being accepted for the ACL Outdoor Art Show and Sale. We'll have all the details about that. Jennifer's housekeeping style is best described as, there appears to have been a struggle. National Library Week, Community Day, trivia, and much more on today's library show.
You know I love mysteries.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
So I'm sure on top of everyone's mind is the coronavirus pandemic now, Jennifer, right? Didn't the World Health Organization officially declared a pandemic? So we might as well address the elephant in the room. Hunterdon County Libraries and Hunterdon County itself is keeping on top.
Would you like me to read the statement from the...
We have a statement on our webpage that Jennifer will read you right now.
Okay, the Hunterdon County Library system is communicating with the County Health Department to monitor the outbreak of the novel coronavirus, or COVID-19. The health of our library patrons and staff are a top priority. The microphone is turned in and out. At this time, the health department advises that there is no need to cancel special.
What's the matter? You have trouble reading that?
It's far away. Social events, gatherings.
Move your microphone closer.
I can't because it
hold it in your hand. Something.
All right. Yeah. Social events or gatherings, including visits and activities in libraries. However, it is important that we work to limit the spread of illness within our community, and we encourage individuals experience illness to stay home and refrain from visiting the library. Visit the county website for more information and updates. co.hunterdon.nj.us.
So right now, I believe there are no confirmed cases in Hunterdon County, but exercise caution, of course. You follow all the recommended precautions. And it's better to be overly cautious with something like this, Jennifer. I don't think you'd ever regret, you know, because the alternative could be bad. So I don't mind any if they start shutting things down. Why take the chance if they're not sure? I know we've been hearing all about how the flu was more deadly and there were 11,000 deaths last year. But that's out of 60 million people or something. So let's not have a feeling when they start testing more people for this coronavirus that these numbers are going to jump a little bit, Jennifer.
Well, use more caution than Jennifer and her 11-year-old brain use.
Why? What's that mean?
Oh, because when I left...
What did you do?
I left over a tree Monday.
Oh, and you can get coronavirus from leaping over trees?
No, but you can get really bruised and cut up from doing it.
Well, I like the whimsy you must have had in your brain at that moment.
Yes.
I hope it doesn't deter you from trying things like that again.
No.
I used to love jumping over things. I haven't done it in a while.
It was a falling
like
tree.
Jumping over chain link fences. You know how you get your arm rested on the side and you swing your legs over? It used to be fun.
No, this is a fallen tree.
I wonder if I could still do that.
You probably could. You've got very long legs.
No, my body's been not very trustworthy for the past 5 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean, just things, you know, that I would never think twice about doing, I have to think twice about. I mean, just, you know, in sports and things like that.
Jumping over trees.
Jumping over trees. I'll have to try to jump. Where's the tree you jumped over?
It was a fallen.
Yeah, where is it at? I want to try to jump it myself.
It was in Tyler State Park.
Oh.
I couldn't even tell you where it was.
And why did you have to jump over it?
I didn't.
Oh.
I could have walked around it.
Boy. Okay. And you're okay? Everything's fine?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need to go to the hospital or anything?
No.
Okay. Very good.
So, on our front page of our website, we have this Young Performers Recitals with a really pretty background.
Yes, you want me to tell you about that while you're bringing it up? Is that what you're doing? You're trying to catch me off guard?
I am.
Sorry, Jennifer, I have that somewhere. Hold on.
Oh, can I see the movie flyer?
That's the old one.
Oh.
Oh, for Christmas sake. Oh, I put it over here in front so I'd grab it real quickly. So Jennifer's referring to our upcoming young performer recitals at the Huntington County Library. This is something new with us.
By the way, I really like the flyer. It's real pretty.
Thank you. I had mixed reviews on that, but we'll go into that later. You can guess. You can probably guess.
Yeah. He doesn't count. I count.
So this is a new thing for us. If you've listened to our show before, you've heard us talk about Fred Miller, our resident pianist, singer, narrator who does our afternoon concert series. Well, he had an idea. He wanted to try to get young performers in our community to hold their own concerts and recitals. So Fred, with the conjunction of the Friends of the Huntington County Library, with the conjunction, what does that mean?
In conjunction with.
The Friends and Fred have decided to join forces and try to bring a series of 10 recitals featuring young performers in our county.
Oh, wow. 10?
I think we have 10 planned.
Oh, wow.
8 or 10.
I didn't know if it was going to be like a...
So right now we're in search of young performers that... let me read you the blurb here and see if this fits the bill of you or someone you may know. If you are a teenage musical instrumentalist or vocalist residing in Huntington County and can verify that you are prepared and eager to present a high-quality 50 to 60-minute program for the public at either the Huntington County Library headquarters or the North County Branch Library, there's a form you can fill out and then... I believe you must have an audition or something would be my guess, Jennifer. These forms can be found in the lobbies of the North County Branch and the Huntington County Library headquarters or online at hclibrary.us. Just fill out the form, email it into Fred Miller or send it to Fred Miller. The mailing address is on the bottom, and then they'll go through the applications and pick out 8 to 10 performers and give them the opportunity to have their own public performance. Of course, inviting family and friends, and then the general public as well. So exciting for, high school students looking to maybe make a career out of music. I think this is a nice opportunity, and I'm glad that the Huntington County Library is involved with it.
Yeah, over the years, we've had the Langmans at North County Branch, some brothers and sisters, and they've grown into a pretty regular performers. And at headquarters, we had Jenny and Kevin Ka.
Yes.
Piano player.
Fiddlers have performed at the Huntington County Library, the Huntington Fiddle Club.
But I'm glad that this is, they're getting each an individual recital.
Showcase their talents that they deserve. Great. They work very hard at their craft, Jennifer, and they deserve an opportunity like this.
We had Bishop Tapper, too.
Okay, very good, yes.
Yeah, so we've had...
So if we, Jennifer, what Jennifer's trying to say is we have scratched the surface in the past. But then we're going to dig deeper.
This was good.
Yes, it's very good. We're very excited about it. We had a concert at the Huntington County Library last night that weren't teenagers, Jennifer.
No.
They've been performing for us for several years now, actually. They perform for us every spring, like the arrival of a robin. It's the arrival of the Borderline Bluegrass Band. Bob and Terry Suter and Bob Harris, a bluegrass and country music trio, performing classic and, not as well-known country hits. They're a very tight trio. They do very well. The audience just eats them up. I was talking to them after the show last night. I guess Bob is still recovering from a stroke he had or something.
Bob Harris.
No, Bob Suter.
Still?
Well, he's not.
It was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, I know, but it takes a while.
No,
Jennifer.
I know. He didn't have.
Especially if you're a banjo player.
No, I was just asking. He didn't have another one, did he?
I'm sure his skills are for an elite musician.
Yes,
and he expects to be. Any erosion of those skills probably bothers him. But it didn't sound like he had any problems last night playing his banjo. So they're all great vocalists. They harmonize great together. If you're ever in the area somewhere and you see that Borderline Bluegrass Band is playing, I highly recommend taking in the show. And they love our audiences. They just think our audiences are the greatest in the world. And Terry, which they are.
Terry has really wry humor, so she's very, very wry.
Yes, they're very quick-witted, too, and they play off each other very well. It's a very entertaining show. The guy was there again last night saying how he can't believe he can see these programs for free. We have one avid fan that just is beside himself. The Hunter County Library offers these high-quality musical programs. So we're glad to please him. Our second, we have two concerts every month in the winter and spring at the Hunter County Library. Our second one will be on March 25th. It's a new band for us. It's a Zaire. It's a trio. Again, they'll be playing classic rock, so something a little different. We try to mix up our genres of music. We have jazz and classical, country, bluegrass, rock. What else do we have? What other genres are there?
We have the South American.
Yeah, the South, the Echo del Sur. We have a cappella group. We have everything. We try to really have a variety for everyone. Violinists and folk music.
Big band.
Instrumentalists, everything. Yes, big band. Brass bands. Everything. We're very proud of our variety. Cover bands as well. Everything. Some of the bands that have played with us, Scottish folk singer, the most popular folk musician in Scotland, comes and plays for us at the Hunter County Library.
Now, because he's from
the UK. The greatest folk recording artist. He's got 20 albums in Scotland. He sends me a Christmas card every year,
and it's
the funniest Christmas card you'll ever read.
Well,
I have to bring it in one time.
Would you please?
Yeah, his name is Jim Malcolm, by the way. If you're doubting that the greatest folk musician in Scotland would venture across the pond and play at the Hunter County Library, look him up. His name is Jim Malcolm. I dare you to.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. It's 11:15, so let's go to our first commercial break and come right back.
Sure.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
That was a quick commercial break, Jennifer. Or were we just ranting so much and during the break that it just went faster than normal? Is that what happened?
We'll be having our 11:30
microphones
break.
Microphones were off, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's time for Today in History. By the way, this is the Library Show. I'm Jim Thatch. I'm with Jennifer Winberry. Every Thursday morning at 11 a.m., we get together and talk about the Hunter County Library. And we also play Today in History. How do you play, do you ask? Did you look up Jim Malcolm, by the way? I hope you did.
And I was going to say, Borderline generally performs at Terhune Orchards.
Do they?
Halfway between Hopewell and Princeton, so keep an eye out for them if you've missed them.
It's time for Today in History. This time, Ibruka asked Jennifer and you at home questions about events that happened on today's date. Today is March 12th, 2020. I ask you about events that happened on the date in years past on March 20th. I'll also give you names of three people who were born on March 20th. See if you know who they are just by hearing their name. All right, Jennifer, I don't have much today. I don't know why March 20th. Was not a big, didn't pique my interest. I mean, there was a lot of stuff,
It's March 12th.
Oh, what did I say? Why am I March 20th?
I have no idea.
Why did that slip into my mind?
Oh, but you looked up March 12th?
I did look up March 12th, Jennifer, I promise. If you don't believe me, look it up online. Okay, Jennifer, 1918. On March 20th.
Speaking of pandemics?
On March 12th. 12th and 20th, maybe that. Speaking of pandemics. Why?
1918?
Yeah.
That was the great influenza pandemic.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, that's not why I'm asking you that.
I mean, that's...
On March 12th, 1918, Moscow becomes the capital of Russia, Jennifer. What was the name of the capital that held that status for the 215 years prior? Moscow was the capital, then this other city was capital for 215 years, and then in 1918, Moscow became capital again on March 12th.
It's neither Stalingrad or Leningrad.
And neither one are correct.
No, I know. I said they're neither one.
Oh.
Kiev?
Are you going to go through all the Russian cities?
No, nope, then I don't know.
I'm looking for St. Petersburg. Okay, Jennifer, 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt addresses the nation for the first time as President of the United States. So, the first of his, what did these call these addresses to the nation?
Fireside chats.
Very good. Very cozy. Is there a fireplace in the White House?
I imagine there's more than one.
Why don't the other presidents do that? That'd be nice. They would sit behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office.
In the Oval Office.
There must be, but why then? I don't know.
Maybe you feel it's more presidential sitting
there. Okay, Jennifer, on March 12, 1938, today was Anschluss. What is Anschluss?
Could you spell it for me?
Anschluss. Dark day in world history.
It's got something to do with pre-World War II in Germany.
Well, that's great, Jennifer, 1938. Great deduction there.
Thank you, and Germany.
Yes, the German word. Boy, you're on a roll.
I'm on a roll. I don't know.
Anschluss technically meant, Jennifer, that Germany just said, okay, Austria's ours now. They just pretty much just said, we're taking Austria. No fight. They just took it over. Anschluss, if you ever hear that word again. Anschluss means Austria is ours now.
Got it.
Pretty scary stuff, actually. And then on March 12th, 1993, Jennifer, this is 27 years ago. I'm just going to say this because this was 27 years ago. North Korea announces that it will withdraw from the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons and refuses to allow inspectors to access its nuclear sites. That's 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in 27 years, they must be armed to the teeth if I'm...
Yes.
You think I'm right about that?
Right.
So I think there's another cause for concern. And now that you haven't heard from them lately, they might just be waiting for us to be a little complacent over here.
There's a lot of causes for concern these days, Jim.
We know that, Jennifer. Right up your alley, usually.
I know.
Are you reveling in all of our...
I'm really not. I'm trying to ignore it. Because in case you haven't noticed, I've been a little bit perkier lately. For me.
And it's because of all of our...
No, because I've been ignoring it all.
Okay.
Not ignoring.
Well, that's good, I guess. Well, don't ignore it.
Not ignoring it, but...
Okay, born on this day, Jennifer, in 1933, Barbara Feldon.
I don't know. She's an actress.
She was an actress.
And I think she's
famous for one role that I know. A comedy sitcom.
Yeah.
About spies.
Get Smart?
Get Smart is correct. She played Agent 99. Maxwell Smart's love interest. What was Maxwell Smart's agent's number?
I don't know.
Chaos. 86.
Chaos was the other one.
Chaos was the evil organization, evil. Correct, with the doctor from the Love Boat as the head.
Barney Koppel.
Yes. What was his name again? Siegfried? I forget. 1946, Liza Minnelli was born.
She is Judy Garland and Vincent Minnelli's daughter. She's a singer, like a cabaret type singer.
She was in one...
Don't Rain on My Parade.
She was in one box office smash movie back in probably the 80s. What was it? What was the name of that movie that was a big box office hit? It was a comedy. She played the love interest of the star.
Really?
It was a comedy. I think it was set in London. It was about a rich guy that was spoiled. And then he learns how to be a...
I was going to say Arthur.
Arthur is correct.
It's set in New York City.
What was it? Okay, it's Arthur.
Sir John Gielgud was...
Oh, because he's butler. English. Okay, yeah. Arthur is correct. Dudley Moore?
The theme song is "The Moon Between the Moon and New York City."
Correct. That's correct. I should have gotten it from that. Liza Minnelli, co-star of Arthur. I think her biggest movie, I guess, Cabaret, right? Was she in Cabaret?
She's a cabaret singer.
She was also in she also had a part in a very popular sitcom, Jennifer, not too long ago. Narrated by Ron Howard, starring Justin Bateman and Ellen DeGeneres' significant other. You know what sitcom I'm talking about?
No, she had a one-woman show, Liza with a Z.
No, don't give me any no. I'm not talking about one woman.
On TV.
It's called Arrested Development.
Oh.
Ever hear of that?
I have.
And then finally, Jennifer, this is just for you. Born in 1962 on March 12th. The straw that stirs the drink. Darryl Strawberry.
He was a part of the 86 Mets team. He was a home run hitter. A center fielder.
Right fielder. Also played for the New York Yankees and won a World Series with them.
Yes.
Unfortunately had some substance abuse problems. But I believe he's a minister now or something like that. The straw
Darryl.
That stirs the drink.
Darryl.
Was he a fan of... I remember my grandmother lived in Norfolk, Virginia. And we used to see Darryl Strawberry play at Tidewater Stadium down in Norfolk because he was when he was a minor leaguer.
Oh, neat.
Yep. And even down there, they knew he was going to be huge. I mean, he filled the stands before he even played one major league game. People came to see him play. Darryl Strawberry. Born on March 12th, 1960. That's all I have.
That's all I have?
I have a trivia for later, Jennifer.
Okay, I have something. It's March, and there are loads
I just fainted.
Of good books coming out. Stop. There are loads of good books coming out, and I wanted to tell you about two of my favorites.
Okay, first of all. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, what?
Nothing.
You don't want to hear?
I'm going to write down what I think they're about.
All right, the first one is called 8 Perfect Murders by Peter Swanson. And there's so many reasons I love this book.
Okay.
One of them is...
Did you write a review that got published?
No, this one didn't. It's on our website, but it's about a bookseller and mystery aficionado, Malcolm Kenshaw. And Malcolm was a minor character in one of Peter Swanson's earlier books, and I love when they do that, like when they take a character from another book and feature them. Roberta Isleep did that. Her golf series, there was a psychologist, and Rebecca had her own... She had her own series. But anyway, so I like when they do that. So years ago, Malcolm was blogging for his used bookstore. And he came up with the genre's most unsolvable murders. And he entitled the list 8 Perfect Murders. And they included Agatha Christie's ABC Murders, Patricia Highsmith's Stranger on a Train, Ira Levin's Death Trap, which is actually a play nonetheless, A.L. Milne's Red House Mystery, yes, that A.A. Milne, Anthony Berkeley Cox's Malice Aforethought, James M. Kay, Double Indemnity, and John McDonald's The Drowner and Donna Tartt's A Secret History.
What about Gone Girl?
No, this is his, the list was before then.
Oh.
So, and those are more traditional. Donna Tartt is the newest one in its early 90s. So now he's in Boston. He owns the bookstore. An FBI agent shows up on his doorstep and says, you know that list you did a while ago? Well, people are dying the same way that they did in these books. And then she says, and you know some of these people. And he's just horrified and he can't. But then somebody else died.
How did he not know they were happening if he knew some of the people?
Oh, he knew these people had died, but he didn't know the circumstances. Or he didn't know that he knew they had died until the FBI agent said, well, wasn't this one of your old customers? So he starts looking for suspects because he doesn't want to be the suspect. And more people keep dying, and there's 8 murders.
And then
it stops. It's very, very clever.
Well, that would be it then. If there was 8 murders, it'll stop there.
You would think.
Oh, it didn't.
You never know.
Okay, so you're highly recommending this book. Is it available?
It is. It came out on March 3rd.
And what's it called again?
8 Perfect Murders by Peter Swanson.
This isn't his debut novel, is it?
No, it's his third or fourth, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because I said Malcolm.
Is it in our collection? Can we put it on hold at the Huntington County Library?
You certainly can. And the other one you can put on hold was released yesterday. And it's My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. And this is a Lolita-esque novel. The cover even has a butterfly on it. And Nabokov was a huge butterfly collector and aficionado. So Vanessa is 30-something, and she really doesn't have her life together. And then a reporter comes knocking on her door and says, hey, this girl from the boarding school you went to says that Strain, the English teacher, abused her, and she said, this girl also said that you had a relationship with this guy, and it blew up like 18 years ago. And Vanessa said, no, what we had was much different. And in her mind, they had this really awesome relationship, this really special relationship. But they really didn't. So it's like a modern Lolita for the Me Too movement. And it's a first novel, and it is written so well. And
so where did you come up with these books? How do you know to read these books?
Well, these last two actually came to me from our pals at Library Love Fest. This one, My Dark Vanessa, Kim Rakin, who works for the academic division of HarperCollins and used to work with my sister, had recommended it. It's got to be over a year ago. She had read a White Galley. And I'm like, I said, I have to read this. So they sent me a copy, and I got to blurb it with some of the other galley chatters, and it was really great to send it. And then in December, I sent this book to my cousin, who's a guidance counselor in Jackson, and he said, oh, we've heard about this book. And it is so, no, I guess it was even before December. It is so unusual for people outside of libraries or the book trade to hear about a book 6 months in advance. So it's going to be, it was on the cover of the New York Times book review last Sunday.
Cool.
And it's going to be huge.
Very cool. So,
and again, there's a whole list, but, you know, look for it at the library.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer does reviews for books here and there that get published.
I just reviewed one I just sent the review in yesterday. It's not coming out until December 29th, though, so I know you don't want to hear about it.
So when you read a book, Jennifer, mm-hmm. and I guess you picture the main characters, you picture like somebody famous that you think would be good for that role, or do you
nope.
just...
No?
No.
And I'm pretty sure that the way I envision the characters is not the way the author envisioned the characters.
Why not?
Because they have their own image. And even though
I guess anybody, right, it has their different things that they draw from, so it would always be an interesting comparison. Like,
how about if 10 people
read the same book and then ask for their description of the main character, or like, and see how they differ from each other.
Right. Now, you know, everybody has the same image of Scarlett O'Hara.
Because of the movie.
Because of the movie, right.
But it had to be something that wasn't a...
Right.
It's like Mary Poppins in the books was much different than what she was in the movies.
Correct. And then Mary Julie Andrews became the standard.
Correct.
And then Emily Blunt.
So that bad?
No, it's not bad at all. But then Emily Blunt sort of had to follow the Disney version of Mary Poppins.
Oh, well, because they made the movie.
Right, exactly. No. I imagine in Lord of the Rings, so that, well, maybe not. That's pretty much the way you... I'll have to ask our director, James, because he has admitted to reading Lord of the Rings trilogy more than once.
Oh, he's a big fan of Lord of the Rings? I did not know.
Yes.
Does he like the movies?
I don't know. I didn't think to ask him. I was talking about books.
Interesting. I'll have to use that to my advantage somehow.
I don't think you need an advantage any longer.
True. The Friends of HCL, by the way, it's 11:35. We have about 20 minutes left.
Oh, we're getting closer on time. I got 11:34.
It's 11:36 now. It just switched. About 20 minutes left, and then Jim Gunnell will be in with his show at 12 noon, Taking Care of Business. Small advice. I do that all the time. Advice for small businesses. It's a very good show. I highly recommend hanging out for that one. I will also have trivia at the end of the show, so hang out for that. But right now I want to talk about the Friends of HCL annual used book sale. It's the 24th annual. It's from April 24th through 27th at the South County Branch Park, which is the Roger K. Everett Fairgrounds, located on Route 179. I keep getting those roads wrong. 173 or 179, Jennifer? What's the road? 179, between Lamberville and Ringos, or just south of the village of Ringos.
Not that it matters.
The fairgrounds.
Too anymore, but think 173 is north in Bloomsbury, and as you get down, it gets higher, 179.
That doesn't help at all.
It's not really going
to matter. All right, you got to stop with those jokes. Why? People might think because I'm sick or something, Jennifer.
Well, you were the one who said...
Okay, so the Grange building, the fairgrounds, has been the home of the book sale for the past several years. So it's a perfect spot, plenty of parking, perfect location for the Friends of HCL book sale, like I mentioned at the top of the show, one of the biggest book sales on the East Coast. How does it get so big? Well, first we start with book donations. We have two book drives this year. If you have a large amount of books you'd like to donate to the Friends of HCL book sale, consider loading your car up and coming down to the fairgrounds on either Saturday, April 11th or Saturday, April 18th. Anytime between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., we'll have volunteers there that will unload your car for you. If you have smaller amounts of books to donate, you can just drop them off in the lobbies of any of our county libraries, and we'll make sure they get out to the sale. Books, they're looking for donations. Hopefully, they're all in good condition, Jennifer. We're looking for hardback and paperback books for adults and children, DVDs, CDs, audiobooks on CD, video games, and sheet music. That's the only items they accept for donations. All other items, such as, torn and mildew items, no vinyl, which I think vinyl would be popular now, Jennifer. Vinyl's kind of making a comeback.
I think it is.
No cassette tapes or encyclopedias, anything outdated they can't accept. So the book sale is 3 days. Friday, April 24th, is always the preview sale, which you need to, it's only open to a limited amount of people, which I believe has already been filled up. So let's move on. Saturday, there's an early bird admission for Friends members or anybody who wants to pay $20 to get in an hour early, 2 hours early, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturday, April 25th. And then free admission begins at 10 a.m., and goes through 5 p.m. Books are priced. Let me tell you the prices of the books. Just to see how reasonable this is. Hardbacks, large trade paperbacks, and children's hardback books are generally $2. Mass market paperbacks and children's softcover books are 50 cents. And there'll be some special items which will be individually priced and found in a special collections boutique. These are some rare books that people have donated that might be worth a little bit more than $2. Then Sunday, April 26th, is always half price day. So all the prices I just read you, everything's half price on Sunday. The hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then Monday is our bag sale, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You buy a bag for $5, like a grocery bag. Is it a paper bag?
The year I went, they gave us ShopRite brown paper bags.
So it'd be technically be a brown paper bag. And then you fill that bag up with as many books as you can fit in there for just $5. It is a bargain. This is a major fundraiser for the Friends, one of the two major fundraisers they do every year, the other one being the Tricky Chair Raffle in October. But this one has been going on for 24 years, and it raises a lot of money for the Hunterdon County Library to help them help us provide services and programs and buy furniture and make the library the community center that it has become. So we thank the Friends of the Hunterdon County Library for that. So if you're interested in more, if you want more information on the book sale, if you want to volunteer for the book sale, if you want more information about joining the Friends of HCL, etc., etc., just email them at fohclfriends@gmail.com. You can go to our webpage, hclibrary.us. Information for the book sale is right on our homepage there. If you want to print that out and just... But my point is, save the date, April 24th through 27th, 2020, for the annual Friends of HCL book sale.
Do you want to go to our last commercial break a little early and come back? Do you have enough history to...
yeah, I think I do.
For you to take us through till Jim Gano?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winberry. Jim Thatch is here, and Jim Gano will be here in 10 short minutes to take care of business. Big advice for small businesses.
There you go. That's a good way to think of it. All right. This time, a lot of times, we dedicate the last part of our show to ask trivia questions because a Hunterdon County Library is all about knowledge, Jennifer, first and foremost. Let's have some fun. Let's start with some general trivia questions. Answer along at home. So you challenge yourself. See how you do against Jennifer. True or false, Jennifer, aluminum is magnetic.
It is not.
That is true. I mean, you're right. That is false. Who was the current number one ranked team in men's college basketball until they canceled the whole season?
Well, no, they're still going to have it. They're just not going
for now, Jennifer.
They're just not going to have an audience.
For now.
Tar Heels.
I wish. Tar Heels are terrible this year, Jennifer. Not even make the tournament. Kansas. What is the name of the book written by Dr. Seuss that only uses 50 different words?
The Cat in the Hat.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Interesting.
His publisher made a bet with him that he could not write a book with using 50 words or less. Dr. Seuss wrote Green Eggs and Ham. 14 U.S. states, Jennifer, hold primaries on Super Tuesday besides Texas and California. Name three of the others.
Interesting. It's Green Eggs and Ham was the first and I think the only Dr. Seuss book I ever owned.
Right, and why is that?
And somebody gave it to me. My father's godparents gave it to me. Interesting. Okay, Super Tuesday. Not Texas and not...
California. Name three other states involved in the Super Tuesday primaries.
American Samoa.
That's not a U.S. state, Jennifer. Is it? Is American Samoa a U.S. state?
No, but they were part of it. It's Mike Bloomberg. His pen doesn't work. North Carolina.
So you're a Mike Bloomberg fan. North Carolina is correct.
Florida.
Florida is incorrect.
Nevada.
Nevada is incorrect.
I don't know.
Arkansas, Alabama, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, Virginia. Pterodactyl, Jennifer, was a flying dinosaur during the Jurassic Age spell. Pterodactyl.
You're kidding, right? Pteradactyl.
You got it wrong right off the first letter, Jennifer. P.
P.
Pteradactyl. How many chance spaces are there in a Monopoly board? Three. Who was the last U.S. president to have two different vice presidents?
Richard Nixon.
Very good. Agnew. And four. Jennifer, don't look to your right. What symbol appears above the number one on the same key of a standard computer keyboard?
An exclamation point.
Very good. Teams. Getting ready for the new season during spring training, Jennifer. Baseball we're talking about. Who won last year's World Series?
Astros?
Astros lost, even though they cheated, Jennifer.
Cheaters never win. Who won?
Washington Nationals.
Huh.
And besides New Jersey, what is the only other U.S. state that ends with the letter Y?
Kentucky.
How did people get that so quick?
I don't know.
Why is Kentucky on the top of everyone's mind?
I've always been fascinated with Kentucky.
Why is that, Jennifer?
I don't know. I had a pen pal from Kentucky.
Okay, Jennifer, look at the time. I'm going to describe a popular movie about time travel.
Okay.
You name the movie. A man wakes up at 6 a.m. every morning and relives the same winter day over and over again.
Groundhog Day.
Very good.
Bill Murray.
While staying at the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island, a man falls in love with a woman in a picture and time travels back to 1912 to meet her. I thought you might be all over this movie. Stars Jane Seymour and Christopher Reeve. Called Somewhere in Time. Ever see that movie?
No.
Actually, pretty good. And an assassin from the future is sent to 1984 to kill a woman who will give birth to a very important son.
Sounds biblical. No.
the Terminator.
Is that what the plot was?
A high school student time travels back to 1955 and meets his mother and father when they were in high school.
Back to the Future.
Very good. A screenwriter gets picked up by a car every night and taken back to the 1920s, where he meets Picasso, Hemingway, Gertrude Stein.
We've talked about this movie.
And others. What?
We've talked about this
movie. We have?
Yes.
Have we?
What is it?
Midnight in Paris.
Yes, we did talk about it because I wanted to see it.
Students use a time-traveling phone booth to collect historical figures to help with a school presentation.
Oh, it's a book, too.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
No, it's not a book.
A woman passes out at her 25th reunion.
Can I just go back to that? What? Peggy Sue got married. Ted and Bill's Excellent Adventure. You know, they have to play death.
What?
They have to play a game against death. They play Twister with death.
Do they?
Yes.
That might be in the second one.
And the seventh.
You've seen this movie?
In the Seventh Seal, the main character had to play. He's. It's in the middle of the bubonic plague. And he's trying to play.
I'm surprised that you would have seen that movie, Jennifer. That seemed like it's right up your alley.
He has to play against death, and the man who had to play chess against death just died yesterday.
In the movie?
Yeah.
That's the strangest segue I've ever heard. A college student who experienced blackouts and memory loss as a child can go back to those times and inhabit his body to try and change the future.
I don't know.
The butterfly effect. And then two siblings get trapped in a 1950s television show.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Pleasantville. Ever see that? Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon. Four unhappy men return to a ski resort they frequented in their youth and time travel back to 1986 with a chance to make their lives better.
Don't know.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Excuse me?
That's one you'll never have seen. Jennifer, running for office.
Okay.
I'll give you a person who was famous before they actually went into politics.
Okay.
He was a professional wrestler before becoming governor of Minnesota.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator.
Incorrect.
Oh, Hulk Hogan.
Incorrect.
I don't know.
Jesse Ventura.
That's who it was.
He wrote and sang a hit song called The Beat Goes On before becoming a congressman from California.
Sonny Bono.
This famous child movie actress was the U.S. ambassador to Czechoslovakia and Ghana.
Shirley Temple.
Very good. This folk hero and frontiersman became a member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Daniel Boone.
Davy Crockett. He was a comedian and writer for Saturday Night Live before becoming a Minnesota senator.
It wasn't Fred Grandy, was it? Fred Grady? Grandy?
Hold that answer.
Hold that answer? I don't know.
Al Franken.
Oh.
He was a quarterback who led the Buffalo Bills to two AFL championships before becoming a member of the House of Representatives and Bob Dole's vice presidential running mate.
I don't know. But that would be a good category, the president who, like the presidential candidate who lost their running mate.
Jack Kemp. This talk show host was once the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Geraldo Rivera.
Jerry Springer. He's a member of the Love Boat crew.
Fred Grandy.
He was a star basketball player at Princeton, as well as winning Olympic gold. Very good, Jennifer. This Academy Award-winning director has appeared in many of his own films and was once mayor of a town in California. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, that's right.
Twins Jr. and Jingle All the Way were three movies from this former governor of California.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There's where we went, Arnold. And then the senator from Tennessee appeared in the movies Hunt for Red October, Die Hard 2, and the TV show Law and Order.
Was it the DA guy?
I don't know. I didn't watch Law and Order.
What was his name? I'll tell you.
His name was Fred Thompson.
Yes, that was the DA.
Okay, Jennifer, it was the DA. I think I had one more. All right, Jennifer, these are all real or fictional places that can be that start with the letters and the words East Amwell. The back of what establishment in the Harry Potter movies and books opens onto a small courtyard in which a particular brick must be tapped 3 times to open a path to Diagon Alley? Leaky Cauldron. What is the name of the country that Casablanca is in?
Morocco.
Fenway Park is the oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. What is the second oldest?
It would have been Yankee Stadium, perhaps, but they've knocked down.
Midwest.
I don't know.
Wrigley Field. And the song Big Shot, Jennifer, by Billy Joel, what restaurant that was frequented? What?
Sorry.
That was frequented by many celebrities, as he mentioned in the lyrics.
Oh, Elaine's.
Yes. Well, don't yell at me.
I wasn't yelling at you. I was annoyed at myself.
What was the name of Woody Harrelson's character in the movie Zombieland?
No.
Tallahassee. The New Colossus is a poem that is written about what landmark?
The Statue of Liberty.
Very good. What is the postal abbreviation for the U.S. state known as the Pelican State?
L.A.
Very good. What golf course is the PGA tournament the Masters played on every year?
Augusta.
Very good. Augusta National. What is the name of the street that the Simpsons live on?
I don't know.
Evergreen Terrace. And what fast food chain's latest slogan is... We have the meats.
Arby's.
Very good. All right, speaking of fast food chains, your last question. How many characters, besides Ronald McDonald, can you name that lived in the fantasy place called McDonaldland?
Okay, the Hamburglar.
That's one.
Grimace.
Two.
There was a bird, but I don't know his name.
I'll give it to you. Birdie the early bird. Giving it to you.
Thank you. How many more are there?
I don't know. There's about 30.
Wow.
You could have named up to 10 when I would give you 10 points for each. That's how the game was played. You got 3. You should get one more at least. 2 more.
Oh, the mayor. Mayor McMack. Mayor.
You're combining 2 there. Mayor McCheese. That's 4. Officer Big Mac, 5, apparently.
Don't know.
Captain Crook, the Professor, the Fry Kids or the Goblins, Happy Meal Gang, Uncle O'Grimacy, Cosmic Sea, McNugget Buddies, Bernice Catfish, Parrot, Vulture, Sunday, which is Ronald's dog, I believe, I Am Hungry, Gridler, Mike the Microphone, the Hamburger Patch, Mac Tonight, Happy.
Some of those must be pretty new.
Some must be pretty old, too, I think.
Well, yeah, like Hamburglar and Grimace.
I don't think they do McDonaldland anymore.
I know McDonald's has a float in the parade, and they have a Grimace and a Hamburglar costume. And I'm running on McDonald's. All right, well, Jim's looking at his phone intently, which means... it must be over. So keep checking our Facebook page and website for updates. But for now, we're open, and you can come on in, go online, or stop in. Your library is always there for you.
Good night.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump announcing during an address to the nation last night on the coronavirus that he is suspending all travel from Europe for 30 days beginning tomorrow, with the exception of the United Kingdom. This morning, Vice President Mike Pence says the ban will protect those in the country who are more susceptible to that virus.
It does not, as we look at global data, present as much a threat to younger Americans. But for senior citizens, it represents a threat of a very serious consequence.
Last night, the president promised financial relief for those infected or in quarantine, and he's calling on Congress to provide tax relief, defer tax payments, and help fund small business loans for businesses affected. Hours after being sentenced to 23 years in prison on rape and sexual assault charges, Harvey Weinstein is back in a New York hospital complaining of chest pains. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
Some NBA fans who were expecting to see the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz in Oklahoma City last night got some bad news just before game time.
The game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight.
The NBA deciding just before game time that it was suspending the rest of its 2019-2020 season until further notice because of the coronavirus outbreak, after learning that Utah Jazz star Rudy Gobert tested positive for the virus. Meanwhile, March Madness is going to go forward, but it's going to happen in empty arenas this year. The NCAA saying that the men's and women's basketball tourneys will be held without spectators because of the outbreak. The NHL saying it's going to evaluate the situation today and is expected to decide later today whether to continue its season. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allen Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Tom Hanks and his wife have come down with the coronavirus while he was making an Elvis Presley movie in Australia. The Oscar-winning actor playing Presley's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, in that new film, which is currently in pre-production. Warner Brothers saying Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, have both tested positive for the illness. Hanks says he thought they had both caught colds, as they had body aches and slight fevers and chills, and then they learned the truth. They are self-isolating, still in Australia. Asian Americans in one Los Angeles suburb are more worried about attacks over the coronavirus outbreak, and many of them are buying guns to protect themselves and their families, as the owner of a gun shop in the San Gabriel Valley east of L.A. says he's been extremely busy in recent weeks, saying he's had 10 times as many customers as usual on some days. The area is home to a high concentration of Asian Americans, and some say they're afraid they'd be targeted if there's a local outbreak of the infection that began in central China late last year. and investigations underway into the death of Floyd Mayweather's ex-girlfriend. The body of Josie Harris was found inside her home in a gated community north of L.A. on Tuesday night. The boxer and Harris have had three children together. The undefeated boxing champ was convicted of domestic violence back in 2010. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio.